document everything and keep it in your company records. Yes. And you know what? You might not ever need it, but you might, and you will be so happy that you have all of that if you do need it.
This is the Contractor Files Podcast. Your hosts, Ethan McNeil and Trent Keith, take a deep dive into the construction and remodeling industry to uncover keys to success and pitfalls to avoid.
Hello, everyone. We are here with another episode of our Contractor Files.
I'm
Trent Keith, and this is
Ethan McNeil.
We have a hot topic today, don't we?
Yes. Yeah. Today we're going to talk about how to fire your homeowner. We talked about how to fire a contractor, which obviously is geared towards homeowners. Now we're looking at the flip side there. How do you fire a homeowner?
Answers that everyone wants to know.
Yes.
How do you fire your homeowner? Okay, you got some big, like number one on your list. Do you have one that stands out the most to you, Ethan?
No, but I do have something interesting that I learned this week off of social media. It's always a great place to learn accurate facts, right? But the saying, "the customer is always right," is not actually the full quote.
Amazing.
Did you know that it's actually, "the customer is always right in matters of taste"? Which completely changes the whole meaning of that saying. And actually is one point I want to make is that...
So that's why we're firing all
Yeah, exactly. The customer does do things that warrant firing them. There are difficult situations that the customer can bring to your business, and there is definitely, in my opinion, some scenarios where it makes sense to fire your customer. So if you are saying, "no, the customer is always right," well, that's not actually the full saying. The full saying is that they're only right in matters of taste, which it's not that much.
It's amazing how that part got left off.
Yes, yeah, I think the customers might have quoted that. I don't know.
That's funny. Okay, that's a good way to start. I was feeling like when, let's see, we're not to when you fire the homeowner yet. We're to how do you fire a homeowner yet.
Yeah.
So I'm getting ahead of myself. I would say you've got to be very careful when you so carefully fire your homeowner.
Right? How do you do it carefully?
Because there's a lot of things that you've got to make sure that you're handling properly before you just fire the homeowner. It can be anything from what have you agreed to, how much have they paid you up front, what have you started and not finished, why are you firing them, obviously.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things that you got to make sure you have. Number one, documentation of what you agreed on, how you're going to do it, and the steps you're going to take in the job.
Yes.
And then documentation of, okay, why are we getting to the place that we're going to
have to fire
the homeowner. So that'd be my first thing, is be very detailed and specific as you go about it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of all the reasons why you might actually need to fire your homeowner. And what's amazing is you could make an exhaustive list, but people are people. So you're always going to run into scenarios that no one ever thought would happen. And so it's kind of a case-by-case basis. But evaluating to me what... This is what I would do if I was trying to decide if I needed to fire a homeowner or not, cut something loose, is it comes down to your the numbers for me. If you are, take the emotions out of it, if you are going to lose a ton of money because this customer is doing something against the contract, so I'm not talking about that, you know, you're going to lose money and it's your fault. I'm talking about it's the customer's fault. And they're trying to sue you, like, and you're not done yet, or they're trying to bring up a bunch of stuff that is just completely unreasonable. It's going to cost your company way more money to finish the job than it is to just say, "hey, look, let's find a middle ground where we can part ways and get out of here." then I would definitely consider it. And there was one other thing, and it escapes me, but there's definitely, I would definitely evaluate too, if I leave this customer at this point, and we'll talk about what we mean by leaving, because you don't just need to, you know, not show up the next day and not tell them. But if you don't finish the job, what are the consequences to my reputation as a contractor in the community or to their friends and family? Is it worth it that we find a way to come to a middle ground and leave the job so that hopefully both parties are not trying to sue each other? And yeah, so that those are the two things I would evaluate. One, is it going to make financial sense to talk to this customer and say, hey, look, it's not working out. We need to figure this out and be done. We're not working well together. And two, is it going to cause a bunch of issues for me long term down the road? So yeah, you got some stuff to add to that. Yeah.
I would say you're probably going to deal with all the above that you was talking about. Probably going to get into lawsuit. You're probably going to get into long-term issues, yes, with your reputation. You're probably going to get into losing money.
You're just pulling the Band-Aid off.
That's right. A lot of those things, because those are the things that come along with issues like this.
Yeah.
And this may sound funny, but as a business owner, I would always err towards the benefit of the customer. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is you always want to treat them like you would want to be treated. So if you're having to go down this road, then err towards their benefit, mm-hmm, for more than one reason. One, morally, you know you've done the best that you can do. Two, you are more than likely going to go to court over it. There's more than likely going to be a lawsuit, and they're going to say a lot of things about you. So if you can, in good conscience, say, I done everything I could do, mm-hmm, I tried to go the extra mile, then find a good stopping point in that process,
yeah,
then I feel like you're ending farther ahead than what you could by the alternative.
Yes.
Definitely. The other part with that, Aaron, and their benefit is make sure that you're not bad mouthing the customer.
Yes.
Like they probably are you.
Yeah.
Because it does not benefit anyone to discuss your business issues with,
yes,
people outside of the situation.
Yep.
So don't ever bad mouth your customers to anyone.
Yep.
And try to err in their benefit so you know you've done absolutely everything,
yes,
you can do.
Yes. And you might be saying, well, I can't allow them to be spreading a bunch of lies and gossip about me. I've got to do the same about them. But I would say that, like Trent was saying, that's not ever a good course for you as a business owner professionally. But what you can do is document everything. Document every conversation you have, every email, every text message, every phone call, every meeting. Document it. And let that be the proof you need that you're in the right or that you're okay as a business. Let that be what sets you free, so to speak. And hopefully you don't ever have to use that documentation in court, but you might. And that is a much better way to go about making sure that you're justified. That feeling of needing to be justified is to document everything and keep it in your company records.
Yes.
And you know what? You might not ever need it, but you might, and you will be so happy that you have all of that if you do need it.
Yes. Yes. Along with that documentation, pictures and videos are,
mm-hmm,
a major key. We had a situation, actually we had a couple over the years,
mm-hmm,
but we had one that comes to my mind that was similar to this, and we had documentation of everything, pictures, details, everything that proved our side of the conflict and that the customer was not accurate. And so it didn't even go anywhere because the attorney actually told them, you have no standing. The contractor has all the evidence of what he's saying, and this is how it is. So make sure you,
mm-hmm,
document everything, you take pictures, videos, like Ethan said, anything that was a discussion in the process, keep record of all that.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. Did you have more on there?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm just jumping around. But another point there is, and this is like Trent was saying, erring in the, on the side of the homeowner, don't leave the customer in a bad predicament in their home. Don't, you know, if you did something and their roof has a hole in it, don't leave that hole because you're upset with them. At least go fix the hole so they're not having their house ruined while while you're working out your disagreement. So, and that isn't about, that's for you as a contractor to feel like you walked in integrity in the situation. But it also doesn't hurt anything that if you do go to court or you do have to have a mediator brought in, that they see you were actually thinking about the customer, even though you were already in a disagreement and you could have let that go, but you didn't. You were good to your word to at least make sure they were in a okay place before you came to an end. So,
for sure. Yep. Yeah. That would be, that goes along with another thing I had on my list is be kind even in your standing of your ground, you know.
Yes.
So you can stand your ground and say, okay, I'm not going past this because, like Ethan said, maybe financially or whatever,
yeah,
it makes no sense for me to keep battling this situation.
Uh-huh.
But yet, do not leave them in a bad position.
Yes.
Most homeowners cannot, you know, stop a leak on their roof or fix
right.
a plumbing problem or fix an electrical issue that caused them not to be able to use half their house or
right.
whatever it is. So do not leave them in a negative place or a position that's worse than what you started
yes.
when you started the job. So always try to do everything you can. Never try to fire the homeowner, but like
yes.
we're saying, if you have to, then just make sure you're very diligent and particular about how you go about
yes.
that step by step.
Yes. Yeah, and this is where a contract comes into play and is a huge benefit. I know so many contractors that don't want to do the paperwork of a contract. They don't want to have everything written down. And that is a huge mistake on their part. They do not realize that not only does it hurt when you get into disagreements like this, but it actually makes your customers feel like you're flying by the seat of your pants and you don't 100% aren't being honest with them. If you can't write it down, then there might be a reason why you're not writing it down. So go for contracts every single time.
Yes.
Write it down. Okay, we will do this and it'll cost this much. We will do this and it'll cost this
yes.
much, because it's going to save you. It really will save you money in the long run, even if it's a pain to fill out that paperwork before you start the job.
Yes, and it will save the disagreement that causes being having to fire your
yes.
homeowner if you have it all detailed.
Yes.
That is one thing that we received a lot when we had our business going, was people would say, you weren't the cheapest estimate that we had, but you're the most specific and we feel the most comfortable with you
mm-hmm.
because you have it all detailed, laid out. We understand it and we know where
yeah.
we're going. And that was a very important thing to most customers
yes.
to have all those details and understanding of how it all worked and
yes.
what all we were talking about. And then they were really easy to work with from that point on. If you run into extras, you could really easily show them that that wasn't one of the things on the list.
Yep.
And they understood that. So
yes.
definitely make sure from the very beginning you have a contract
yes.
and you have it very detailed what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. I know some people that hired a contractor and he gave them a verbal estimate and told them he would be sending over a written estimate. Never did. Told them that they would be having a contract to sign before he got started. He never gave them that contract. They never saw anything. No scope of work, no pricing, firm pricing, nothing. And at the end of the job, he wanted to get with them to kind of go over the bill and what he had come up with of what they owed. And
I bet they were different.
Yeah, and they were real worried because they were afraid it was going to be a lot more than what he told them. And I said, well, it doesn't. If it is, he has no ground.
Yeah.
He didn't write it out. He didn't say it's going to cost this much. And you know, these are extras. At least in the state of Indiana, you're in a bad situation if you as a contractor do not have anything written down with your customer. Mm-hmm. And so
that comes back to the customer's always right.
Yeah,
part of that saying.
That's right.
If you have no record that the customer's wrong, then they're right when it comes to court. So you better have all that detailed.
Unfortunately, contractors have a bad name in all across America. They can have a bad name, and when you come before a judge, he's probably gonna have that image. I mean, not always, but might have that image in his head when he's dealing with your court case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this contractor might be one of those that's just trying to take advantage. So
yep. Well, as a rule of thumb, I feel like judges are going to lean towards protecting the homeowner from the business.
Right.
So unless you can prove that the homeowner is wrong by documentation, then it's the judge's job to protect them from being taken advantage of by someone, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. So don't do everything verbally and expect it to go smoothly when you're finished.
Yes. Yes. And yeah. Did you have another thing there to add?
Oh, I don't know. I'm still thinking.
Oh.
So I would say the biggest key to firing a homeowner is it's the very last option, right?
Yes.
You don't want that to be halfway down your list of solutions.
Yeah. Well, let's try that as number one.
You really want that to be your very last option.
Yes.
Because there's no way to get out of it without issues one way or another. And another thing that we noticed in business for all those years is sometimes you have to say, okay, I'm dealing with your spouse. You two communicate, and the spouse that communicates with us the best is the one I'm going to have to deal with.
Yes.
Because maybe you just don't communicate well with one of them.
Yes.
And that's actually an option that will help you get through sometimes, but sometimes you can't do that. So you have to work on the thing we say in every podcast, communication.
Communicate.
And communication involves a very detailed contract to start the job in the first place.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. I think the best case scenario, is don't fire your homeowner. Work it out, finish the job, move on, and just know in the future, hey, this might not be a homeowner we want to do a lot of work for. But the next best case scenario is that you communicate with that customer, and if you come to an agreement that, hey, it's just not working out, then you guys find a mutual ground where you can end. We'll finish this part, and we'll charge you, you know, this much left on the project, and that's it. We'll call it good, and we'll leave, and you can find somebody else to finish. That is the second best case scenario besides not firing the homeowner. So, yeah.
There you go. So, we did have a comment, Ethan.
Yes.
That said the highest profit margin is to get a deposit and not do anything. 100% profit. That is a terrible idea.
Yes. Yeah.
Just so you know, that's not the way to do it.
And that is exactly why contractors have a bad reputation.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder why we have to discuss these things.
You know, the contractors that move from city to city and from state to state, those are the ones that do that.
That's true.
They order, they say they're ordering materials and then they never show up.
Yep.
And you know, you only have to find one sucker in each city to make it worth it.
I've never figured out those numbers. Yeah.
So the other thing that you can do, and we didn't talk about this, but if it gets real bad, the best case scenario to deal with the customer is to just chew them out and then write a big post on Facebook about them, because that really helps your reputation as a level-headed professional in the community. And I speak from experience here, not personal experience, but I have actually witnessed contractors do both of those things, and it seems to really help their business.
Are you going to say that's a joke for me?
I don't know. We might just let that go. Give it a try. Let us know if it works.
For any of you kids listening, he is joking.
Oh, man.
No, it's one of those things. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It's always hard when you have conflict in your business like that. We're talking about marriage now. In your business like that, when you have conflict with a customer, it's always hard. So you want to take your time, work your way through the process, and try to eliminate everything you can so you do not have to fire the homeowner.
Yes.
Because it does happen.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah, and all you homeowners out there that are, think we're taking the contractor's side, we have plenty of videos out there and content about how the contractors also could be an issue. So don't worry about that. This podcast is geared towards the difficult customers, which, if you're worried, it might be you. I'd say if you even have that thought, are they talking about me? Then we're probably talking about you.
Okay, so now we've fired the contractor and we fired the homeowner.
Yep, now who's going to do those remodeling projects? We're in trouble.
But the key is, for the homeowner and the contractor, we have an estimating app that you can estimate your bathroom or your kitchen in just minutes.
Yes.
You want to tell them about that, Ethan?
Yep. So you can go to myestimatingapp.com, and there you could sign up for a free trial, and you can download the app. You can also use it on your web browser. But basically, it's going to revolutionize the way that you do kitchen and bathroom remodeling estimates. And we believe that it's also going to branch out and take over a bunch of different estimating projects. But for now, it's just kitchens and bathrooms. So if you're a contractor that specializes in those fields, this application is really going to help you out. It's myestimatingapp.com. And you can use the promo code PODCAST. And if you use that, we will know where you came from, and you're going to get a nice discount on your first 6 months, and we will be happy to have you aboard. So
I didn't think we were supposed to give discounts until we was making a bunch of money.
Well, we have to help these guys out.
Okay.
So
all right, well, thanks for everyone for listening. I'm Trent Keith, and now you know how to fire your homeowner.
Yes.
And this is Ethan.
Yep. Have a good week, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends and family. To ask us any questions that might get answered in our next podcast, please visit our website, thecontractorfiles.com. Have a great rest of your day.